Bookie and the Secret Santa, starring Rachel Marcus as Beatrice Bookie Thompson, Megan Follows as her mother Francie, and Stuart Hughes as her father Thomas. Also starring Kenneth Walsh as Mr. Eaton. In Depression-era Toronto, children in worn clothes run through the streets. They are wrapped up in coats and hats and race past building site workers. One little boy with a stripy blue and white scarf leads the way down a narrow alley to a basic wooded block of flats where other children are waiting outside their doors.
All free, all free, all free!
The waiting children come down from their flats and run out from the alley. One of them, 10-year-old Bookie, is dressed in a light blue coat, her hair brown, half tied up with a black ribbon. She goes to speak to her little brother, who is standing near some crates. He is dressed in a corduroy jacket and flat cap.
Hey Jakey, wanna come home with me?
Nah, I wanna stay out and play.
Okay.
Walking along, she sees her older brother Arthur on a bicycle.
Arthur! Hi!
Hi, Ruby.
I would ride home?
Sorry, I can't. I had detention and I'm late for work.
Again?
She shakes her head. Jakey runs up to her.
I thought you wanted to stay out and play.
I'm hungry.
A group of girls come running up to her.
Bookie, there's an Eaton's truck at your house.
The girls and Jakey run to their house. More children gather as they stare in amazement at the black and gold truck outside the house.
What do you think it is?
Maybe it's a new radio like you got. I hope so.
You guys are so lucky.
Come on, Jakey.
Inside the house.
Oh, it's not a radio.
Hi, Aunt Susan. Hi, Mom.
Her mother lifts up the singer lid.
A sewing machine.
I ordered it on catalog.
30-day trial.
I have a mountain of sewing to get done before Christmas.
Starting with a brand new winter coat for you, Bookie. Well, not exactly brand new. It's 3 years old. But I've got a new one this year, so your mother's going to cut it down to fit you. Mm. I know blue's your favorite color.
It's beautifully in season, thank you.
Go do your homework.
Her father is at work.
Here you are, Bill. The last of them, all set for the parade.
That's fine work, Thomas, as always. Grooms are out with the horses, fitting traces for the floats, and when they come back in, we'll try all this on.
Might as well, long as I'm here.
They're going to stop using horses to pull the floats next year. I just got the word.
You don't say.
They're going to use tractors covered up underneath. Won't be the same, if you ask me.
First trucks instead of delivery wagons. Now even the parade floats. Looks like they want to be done with horses altogether.
Tell not to worry. There's always going to be horses in the world, and our jobs are safe.
Yours, maybe. You're the foreman.
And you're the senior man. And we'll be the last two to walk out that door. Anyway, I hear it's only temporary, but things will pick up in the next year. They always do.
Amen to that, boss.
Back at home.
Hi, Mama. Is it ready yet?
Almost, just finishing with the buttons.
I can't wait.
Bookie's sister, Willa, is painting a globe.
What's that, your science project?
Yep, I brought it home to paint it.
Is that the world?
It's a scale model. That's where we live, Toronto, Canada.
What's a scale model?
It means that everything is the exact same size it would be if the Earth was really this big.
Oh, yeah, you see the tiny cars? Oh, that's right, you need a microscope, right, Willa?
Get lost, Arthur.
Papa's home.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Papa.
Come here, young man. Hey, girls.
Here it is, Bookie. Let's try it on.
I love it. Thank you.
It looks great on you, Bookie. You did a really great job with it, Mom. I can't believe you got it to fit her.
It's that Singer machine. It can do miracles. It's going to be awfully hard sending it back.
I don't understand, Mama. Why are you going to send back the sewing machine if you like it?
Don't you get it, Bookie? Mom tells Zeton that she didn't like it, and she gets a free sewing machine for a month. Just like the washing machine last year. You remember how much she didn't like that.
Hey, watch your mouth there, son.
It's true, ain't it?
Never you mind, Arthur. Eaton's doesn't. Dinner's almost ready. Everyone get to setting the table. Bookie, let's take your coat off for dinner.
Okay.
It's beautiful on
Thank you. Oh, and I just remembered. Can you come to school tomorrow and be in the Christmas Drive Committee?
What exactly is the Christmas Drive Committee?
It helps the poor kids. They need mothers to volunteer. Laura's mom is the chairwoman.
What's a chairwoman?
Well, Jakey, it's the woman that's in charge of getting all the chairs for the poor kids.
Very funny, Arthur.
Stop teasing your sister, Arthur. It means she's in charge of the committee. Well, that seems like a worthwhile thing. I'd like to meet Laura's mother. Considering how much time you spend with her, it's about time that I did.
Bookie's mother enters a public library and approaches a well-to-do looking woman who is fixing her hair. She is tall and elegant.
Mrs. Westover.
Yes?
I'm Francie Thompson. Bookie's mother. She told me you needed volunteers for the committee.
How nice to meet you at last, Mrs. Thompson.
Yes, you too. Our girls bring such good friends and all.
Yes, indeed. Bookie spends so much time at our house, it's almost as if she lives there.
I hope she's not been a nuisance.
Oh, not at all.
No, she's a lovely girl. Well, I told her to have Laura over to our house more often, but she never seems to.
I think it's all the toys and games and dolls Laura has. We spoil that girl. I'm the first to admit it.
Well, I suppose that's it. The toys, I mean. Not that you spoil her.
Well, how nice of you to volunteer. And I'm definitely going to need you. There's a mountain of work to do.
What kind of work are you doing, exactly?
With Christmas coming, I wanted to see if there was something I could do for charity work. I contacted the Eaton's Fund to see if I could volunteer to work with them. They do such good work.
We must have silence in the library. I can't have you disturbing the children.
Shall we?
I hope they're finished soon. Me too. I'm hungry. Let's go skip.
Bookie and Laura go and play with the other girls. Francie and Anne come out of the library.
Anyway, the Eaton's Fund people. The president is Mr. Eaton himself, you know. He takes a very active role in the fund's work. They suggested I organize a committee at the school to identify the needy children in the school and then give the list to the Eaton's Christmas Fund to be sure they all get a present in time for Christmas.
I see. How do you decide who are the needy ones?
Eaton's Fund wants to send a present to every child in the city whose father is unemployed. Isn't that a lovely idea?
Well, it is indeed. Bring a lot of happiness to a lot of people who are going to have a hard time of it this Christmas.
So would you like to join my committee and help compile a list? She'll only be a few hours a week.
Yes, I'd be glad to help.
Hello,
Hi.
Darling.
Hi, Mother.
Grab Don't stuff. Forget your bag, okay?
Okay.
Good job of skipping it.
Thanks.
Back at home, Bookie and her sister are still in bed.
Breakfast is on the table.
A little sharp up there. If we don't get downtown too sweet, we'll be craning our necks at the back of the crowd.
Hurry, hurry! Wake up, the Santa Claus parade day! Come on, you sleepyhead!
And Santa Claus parade day!
Come on,
I bet our sister in bed. Let's get him up!
In a bustling street.
Oh, I see. You. Over there. There's Susan.
Excuse me.
Sus.
There she is.
Excuse me.
Thanks for saving us a spot.
Oh, well, the children will be able to see everything.
Come by after.
We will.
Thank you.
I can hear the parade. It's coming.
Bookie and her family take a frontline view of the parade. Clowns and jugglers come through the streets. The children look on in wonder.
Good Lord, Jakey. Can you hold it?
You better take him, Thomas, before he lets him loose on you.
You try and keep a place for us?
You will.
I'll take him to Susan's store.
Brightly dressed characters parade a massive Christmas tree through the streets. They wave the onlookers. Children helps themselves to oranges. A band in military regalia are now on the streets. Thomas and Jakey rejoin the girls. Jakey is on Thomas's shoulders.
Didn't miss much.
Oh, you enjoy this as much as the rest of us.
I'm asking for Jakey's sake, woman.
Of course you are.
A man is on a unicycle.
Hello, Mr. Crow.
Here they come.
Wait.
Merry Christmas!
Is that the real Santa Claus, Mama?
Of course it is, Jakey. Only the real Santa can lead the Eden State Parade.
Those aren't his real reindeer, though. They're made of wood.
Well, Santa can't bring his real reindeer. They wouldn't stand still on the float.
Oh, he's gonna come right by us, too.
Hello, Santa. Hello, Santa Mary.
Relax, sis. We can't hear you.
Hello, little bluebird.
Dookie, did you hear that? That was you, Santa, called little bluebird. He must have noticed your new blue coat.
Now, isn't that a good Christmas omen?
Santa Claus talked to you, Bookie. I can hardly believe it. And he's the real Santa Claus.
Oh, grow up. Both of you.
Merry Christmas.
Back at home, Francie is doing the laundry and hanging the clothes in the kitchen. Thomas comes through the front door.
Thomas, what are you doing home in the middle of the day?
I've been let go.
What?
You heard me. They fired me. Now that the parade's over, it seems they don't need a harness maker on the payroll anymore. Here's my last pay packet. $14.
Well, I have nearly $30 saved up in my coffee tin.
Oh, that's it then. That's what we got in this world.
How could Eaton's treat you this way? After all your years with the company?
I never missed a day in 15 years. I guess that's their idea of a Christmas present for loyal service.
There must be other places you can find work, Thomas.
Well, not likely as a harness maker. Eaton's is one of the last places to switch over to trucks. Bread companies, dairies, nobody's using horse-drawn wagons anymore.
But still...
Don't worry, I'll find something. The Thompsons have always stood on their own 2 feet, and it ain't going to be any different now.
Well, the rent's paid this month. We've enough for December, and I can make do for food from what we have. Well, that should be enough time for you to find work, don't you think?
I'll be looking every day. We'll be fine.
We have to tell the children.
They can't be expecting the kind of Christmas we've always had. It might take a while before I find another job for any. We've got to be prepared for that.
They both look concerned as Francie takes Thomas's hand. Now outside the school, Bookie and Laura are in the playground.
Wanna come over and play? I've got some new movie magazines.
Sure.
What are you getting for Christmas, Bookie?
I don't know. I mostly want new clothes.
I don't know what I want. Mother says we're gonna take a trip on a train to New York.
I've never been to New York. What will you do there?
I don't know. She says it's the best place in the world for shopping.
That will be fun.
I guess so.
It'll be fun. How could a train trip to New York not be fun?
I don't really like shopping.
There must be other things to do in New York.
Isn't it a big city? She says we'll see lots of Broadway shows.
What's that?
I don't know. The
But Mother says I like it.
Look at that.
Me.
Back at home, a stern-looking Francie and Thomas approach their children, who are playing together by an open fire.
Well, you're losing.
Go ahead. Children, we have something to tell you. Your father has lost his job at Eaton's.
Can't you find it again, Papa?
Hush now, Jakey. Just listen. Until your father is working again, you'll have to be brave little soldiers. We're going to have to do without some things and make every penny count. I know that I can depend on you, can't I?
Of course, Mama. And I can find work.
You'll stay in school. Part-time work, maybe.
Well, Aunt Susan said I can help out in the nut shop anytime I want.
Maybe. Maybe there's something you can do for Aunt Susan on Saturdays. That certainly would be helpful, Bookie. Every penny counts until your father is working again.
I can get a paper route, like Mikey has.
Mikey's a little bit older than you. So for now, you just be the bravest boy you can be. All right?
I will. I promise.
Yeah, and, you know, you can have all the money I make from the grocery store.
Thanks, officer. Like your mother says, every little bit is going to help until I'm working again. In the meantime, I'll do what I can. I'll shovel snow, I'll haul coal, I'll dig ditches. And I'll spend every waking minute in between looking for a new job. It's going to be fine. Just might take a little while, that's all.
So, are we going to have to move?
We don't have to think about that just now. Come, let's have some dinner.
Come on. All right, let's go. Harry Watson's on the bogey. Told me this afternoon and he wasn't a damn bit ashamed. Shame that he can't even provide for his own family.
It's not going to come to that, Thomas. We won't let it.
In bed, she looks hopefully at her husband. Now a new day at the library, and a committee meeting is being held in one of the rooms. Four well-dressed ladies are happily chatting away. Francie walks in.
Good morning, Mrs. Thompson.
You're late. I'm afraid I have to resign from the committee.
Oh?
My husband lost his job at Eaton's. There's just much too much for me to do to have time for volunteer work.
I see. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
So thank you, and you'll excuse me.
Oh, shall I add your children to the list, then?
Francie turns back towards Anne to confront her comment.
Well, they're eligible now, aren't they?
Francie walks out of the room. Now on the street, she is walking hand in hand with Bookie. They go to the entrance of the department store. Bookie smiles and runs off across the road. Her mother follows her.
Santa's beautiful.
Bookie, wait for me.
Bookie looks at a Christmas window display.
Your aunt's expecting us.
I love coming to Aunt Susan's shop. She always gives me a bag of nuts.
My sister's a very generous woman, but wait for her to do the offering.
Bookie and Francie enter a shop.
There she is, my darling little niece. Oh, how are you, Bee?
I'm fine, Aunt Susan. I'm glad to see you.
How are you, Francie?
We're managing.
Bookie. How would you like a job as my Saturday sampler girl? You would stand outside the door of the shop and hand out little sample bags of nuts to all the shoppers. I can pay you 25 cents for the day.
A whole quarter?
Mm-hmm.
That's much too generous.
No, it's not. And besides, this is between me and my employee, isn't it? So what do you say, Boogie?
Do we have a deal?
Yes, 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 yes.
Can you start today?
Can I, Mama?
I don't see why not.
Aunt Susan hangs a tray around Bookie's neck.
Thank you.
A old man approaches her.
Would you like to try some nuts?
No, thanks.
Would you like to try some fresh roasted nuts from the nut shop, sir?
I won't be needing a sample, young lady. I'm quite familiar with the product you're selling. You must be a new employee of the nut shop. I don't believe I've seen you before.
My Aunt Susan is the owner. She's paying me a quarter every Saturday to be your sample girl.
I see. Well, I will tell her you're doing a very good job and you deserve every penny. As a matter of fact, here is a penny for your efforts.
Thank you, sir.
What's your name, young lady?
My name is Beatrice Thompson, sir. But everybody calls me Bookie. It's not because I read a lot of books.
And I would guess you're about 11 years old.
I'm 10 and a half.
Oh, I am delighted to meet you, Bookie. And I presume I'll see you here every Saturday.
Yes.
The man walks off.
Oh, yes, please.
You want...
Back in the shop.
My goodness, you are the very best sample girl I have ever had, Bookie.
Really, Aunt Susan?
Mm-hmm. I'm selling much more nuts than I usually do on Saturday. Mr. Eaton said he was very impressed with you.
Mr. Eaton?
I saw him talking to you before he came in. He's the gentleman with the white mustache. He's my best customer.
That was Mr. Eaton from Eaton's?
Mm-hmm. None other.
He gave me a penny. I'm going to keep it forever.
Later, Bookie and Jakey approach some children playing in the street.
Christmas, say to me. I mean, Santa. How come Santa is a girl? Because this parade is my idea. That's why, Jakey.
The real Eden's parade Santa talked to me, you know. He said, hello, little bluebird.
He did not.
He did so. I heard him.
What else did he say?
That's all. He just said, hello, little bluebird. Just like that.
My mom said he's the real Santa Claus. Only the real Santa Claus can be in the Eden's parade.
Yes, yeah, sure, Jake. He's the real McCoy.
What's so funny? You all shut up. You want to be reindeer?
I do.
Put some reins around them.
They get behind the rope.
Can I take Jakey to Eames to see Santa?
No.
Thomas, you're being completely unreasonable. There's little enough ways for the children to have a Christmas this year.
Unreasonable, is it? Letting them get their hearts set on presents we can't buy them? How's that going to make for a better Christmas?
I want to go see Santa. I'm going to ask him for a trike.
Why don't you write Santa a letter? You can each ask for one thing. Only it can't be too costly. I don't think Santa can give you a trike this year, Jakey. Maybe next year.
Oh, I can ask him, can't I?
Children, write the letter. Next time I go to Eaton's, I'll drop it in Santa's mailbox.
What would you like Santa to bring you for Christmas, Willa?
Bookie, you can't be serious.
We're writing a letter to Santa, but we're giving it to Mom.
Oh, I get it.
She said we can't ask for anything that costs a lot of money.
Well, what are you going to ask for?
I'd like a hat like my friend Laura's. She said it's not expensive. What would you like?
I don't know. Maybe a string of beads from LaRue's Five and Dime. They have some nice ones there.
You have to tell me what you want for Christmas. For me to put in the letter to Santa.
Yes, okay, right. The letter to Santa at the North Pole.
Remember, it has to be cheap this year.
Put down a box of paints for me. It's about as cheap as it gets.
I want a trike, a shiny red one. It has to be cheap, Jakey. Okay, a cheap shiny red one.
There's no tricycle that's cheap, Jakey. Think of something else.
I don't want anything else. I want a tricycle.
Mama said you can't have a tricycle.
I'm not asking her. I'm asking Santa.
Oh, nice going books, and I'll be balling all night.
All right, all right.
I'll put down Tricycle and I'll let her to Santa. But don't get your hopes up.
A shiny red one.
Bookie takes the list to her mother, who is sewing.
Here's our letter to Santa. Jakey still wants a trike.
Oh, he's a stubborn one, that one. Just like his father. I'll think of something. Bookie. God knows you're not asking for much. We'll do the best we can, but don't be too disappointed if there's little under the tree. Off you go to bed now.
Mama?
Yes?
Francie hugs her daughter.
I just wish that we could have a happy Christmas. Like we did last year.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Bookie. If only you knew how much I wanted that myself. Just a happy Christmas. But we'll make do the best we can, won't we?
I know. We can get all our presents from Eaton's on 30-day trial.
Thomas joins them and reads Bookie's letter. A new day now at Laura's house. They're reading comics.
Wow, this detective comic is really exciting.
Is it new?
It just came out. I got it at the drugstore when I got my movie magazines.
Arthur would love this.
He can have it.
Really?
Sure. I've already read it 5 times.
Thanks.
You hungry? I'm always hungry. Let's get something to eat.
In Laura's large kitchen, Bookie watches the dog eating.
What's the matter?
What kind of dog food is that? It smells so good.
It's leftovers from dinner last night. Roast pork. Prince gets sour table scraps.
Roast pork? Your dog gets roast pork to eat?
We never eat the leftovers. What Prince doesn't eat, Mother just throws out. Do you want to take some home? I know there's plenty left in the icebox.
Oh, no, Laura. I can't take your food.
Why not?
I don't know. I just don't think I should, that's all.
Laura takes a bowl out of the fridge.
We'll just cover it with a towel and you can carry it home.
What are you doing, dear?
I'm giving Bookie some leftovers to take home. You don't mind, do you, Mother?
Can I speak to you in the dining room, please, Laura?
Her mother looks stern.
You'd mind if I gave Bookie the leftovers, Mother?
It's not the food, Laura. It's this friendship you have with this girl.
Bookie? She's my best friend, Mother.
She's not an appropriate friend for you. You shouldn't spend so much time with her.
Why not?
There are so many nicer girls you could be friends with.
But Bookie is the nicest girl I know and the most fun.
We'll talk about this another time. She can probably hear us.
I
want you to think about what we've discussed.
Yes, Mother.
At home, Thomas and Francie are counting money in the kitchen.
We have enough for rent on the first. We'll have to cut back even more on food, though how, I don't know.
Couldn't find anything in Hyde Park today. I'll try Rosedale tomorrow, but I expect it'll be the same thing. There's a lot of men out on the streets looking. You can call it that. I see them standing around on the street corners. Waiting until they can go home and say they spent the day trying.
Well, maybe I could take in sewing.
Don't you have to send the machine back?
We could buy it on time.
We're living on day-old bread and kidney stew. How can we afford to make payments on a sewing machine?
Well, maybe I can make enough.
Who's got money to pay for a seamstress?
Bookie enters.
Look what I've got.
She hands over the bowl.
This is a roast pork loin. Where did you get this?
Laura gave it to me. They were going to feed it to their dog.
Does her mother know that she gave this to you?
Yes.
And what did she say?
She talked to Laura. She looked mad. But Laura said it was about something else.
I see.
What are we eating? I'm starving.
I'm hungry.
Bookie, I'm going to have to take this back.
What? Why?
I don't understand.
If we give up our pride and accept charity from people who begrudge it, we'll not have the strength as a family to overcome these trials.
We don't need the food from their table. We can provide for ourselves. We're Thompsons. The Thompsons have never needed anyone's pity. Not in the two generations we've lived in this country, and not in the 500 years we go back in the old country, neither. Are we agreed on that?
Agreed. Yeah.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Our dinner is ready. And after, I'll take this back.
Francie walks up to the front door of Laura's house.
Yes?
I'm Frances Thompson, Bookie's mother. I'm returning this to you.
I'm sorry, who's Bookie?
We'll take care of this, Henry. Would you take this to the kitchen, please? Won't you step inside, Mrs. Thompson?
Well, I don't know that there's anything that needs saying.
Please. You didn't need to come all this way to return that meat if you didn't want it. You could have just thrown it out.
And have you think we were grateful for your table scraps? We're down in our luck, Mrs. Westover, but we're not in need of your pity.
It was my daughter's doing, not mine.
I think your daughter has a kind heart. I doubt she got it from you. If you'll excuse me, I'll be going.
I don't want your daughter coming around here anymore.
Oh, you needn't worry about that.
In Bookie's bedroom, Francie watches her read the comic.
What's this?
It's a new comic book Laura gave to me. I'm going to give it to Arthur. I'm just reading it one last time.
I think it would be best if you and Laura didn't see each other outside of school anymore.
Why not? We're best friends.
Her mother doesn't want you coming to her house, Bookie.
Is it because Laura gave me the roast pork? I'm sorry I took it. I won't ever take anything from their house again.
It's got nothing to do with you. You certainly aren't to blame for anything.
I don't understand. What's wrong with me being friends with Laura?
Laura's mother is the kind of woman who wants people to like her. Important people. That matters to her very much. She wants Laura to have the kind of friends that she approves of, that she thinks people like that would approve of.
You mean rich?
Exactly.
Well, Laura doesn't care about that.
Unfortunately, her mother does. Oh, I pity her for being so foolish as to think that kind of thing matters. It doesn't, Bookie. It's got nothing to do with what a person's really like, what's really in their heart. Some people can't see that. And there's nothing we can do about it.
I'm still going to be Laura's friend, and I hope she'll be my friend, no matter what her mother says.
Well, Laura's lucky to have you as a friend. But you can't expect her to go against her mother. I just don't want to see you get hurt, that's all.
This is for you. Laura was finished with it, and she said I can give it to you.
Wow, this is Sam Snoop. Saw this in the grocery store the other day, but they wouldn't let me read it. Thanks,
I was going to give it to you for Christmas, but I know you can't give me anything, and I didn't want you to feel bad.
I only feel bad about not getting gifts, kiddo. I don't feel bad about not giving.
An Eaton's delivery truck arrives outside the Thompson's home.
about the sewing machine? Because I've only had it a little more than 3 weeks.
Merry Christmas from Eaton's. I have 4 presents for you. Girl small, boy small, girl medium, boy medium. Would that be correct?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Francie looks up and down the street. Thomas is walking home with a shovel in his hand. Packages from Eaton sit on the side.
Can we open them now, please?
Well, wouldn't you rather wait to open them Christmas morning? It'd be precious little under the tree otherwise.
Amy and her brother opened theirs. They're sweaters. We can leave the sweaters under the tree.
Well, all 4 of you could use a nice warm sweater. What do you think, Thomas?
I'm glad to see the company can afford to send sweaters to every child in Toronto.
Just the children of the unemployed.
How kind-hearted of them.
All right. Here you go. Young man.
They open the packages to find identical orange and black jumpers inside.
Now look at you all. Don't you all look fine?
Really? How can you tell us apart?
Francie and Thomas are in their bedroom.
Letting all the warmth out.
It's my back.
Shall I rub it for you?
I'm not used to the digging. Thanks. Oh, it's wonderful.
I can't believe they gave you only 25 cents.
A month ago, I was a harness maker making a good living at my trade. Now I'm digging flower beds for 25 cents a day. And competing with 100 other men for the privilege. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, and that's a fact.
Christmas so close. It's a damn shame.
Everybody says it can't go on this way. I only wish I knew what it is that's going on.
A new day. Bookie walks down the street to find Arthur throwing off his hat and taking off his jumper.
What are you doing, Arthur?
What does it look like?
Why are you throwing away your Eaton sweater?
Bookie, do you know what all the rich snotty kids are calling these sweaters?
No. What?
The uniform of the poor, that's what.
Well, I don't care what they think. Mama said we're not supposed to be ashamed that we're poor now, because it's happened to a lot of people. And anyway, it's only for a while.
He puts the hat and jumper back on.
Mom, we're gonna be late.
2 older boys approach them.
Hey, let's do more tiger cubs. Let's hear your roar, tiger.
Sure you want to hear my roar?
Arthur shoves one of the boys. Bookie is at her job. Mr. Eaton approaches her.
Hello, little bluebird. Good morning.
Hello, Mr. Eaton. There you go. You have a good day.
He leaves the shop and waves goodbye to Bookie. She watches him walk down the street and gives the nut that he has just brought to an old tramp who nods in thanks. A long line of people waiting outside a bakery. Bookie and Francie are now in the front of the queue.
When did you start coming here for bread, Mama?
When they started selling day-old bread at 2 loaves for a nickel. Day-old bread fries up just as fine as fresh.
Can I ask you something?
Bookie, if this is about Laura...
It's about Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
Remember you said that only the real Santa Claus could lead the Eaton Santa Claus parade?
Bookie, I said that for Jakey's sake.
I know, but... What if Santa Claus existed, only he wasn't anything like what people think? Mm-hmm. What if he had a secret identity, like in the Sam Snoop comic?
What have you got going on in that scatterbrain of yours?
What if he lived right here in Toronto, and nobody ever suspected that he was Santa Claus? And instead of elves and a giant toy workshop, he had a giant building, and there was no magic about it at all. And nobody ever suspected a thing, because they thought it was just a story.
Okay. All that from meeting Mr. Eaton at the nut shop. What an imagination.
I didn't say Mr. Eaton was Santa Claus.
Good, because he isn't. Don't forget, he's the owner of the company that let your father go a month before Christmas.
No pushing, one at a time.
Back at home, Thomas has an old tire and some shoes laid on some newspaper in the kitchen table. Bookie enters the room and quizzes her father.
What are you doing, Papa?
I'm making some heavy-duty soles for my old boots. Once the snow comes, I think I can get work shoveling out driveways and such. Might as well have a pair of boots that'll keep me from slipping on the ice and breaking my neck. I might even get work that others can't get because they don't have the proper boots for the job.
That's a good idea, Papa. Can I have car tires on my boots?
Well, you wouldn't be slipping much, but I doubt you'd be able to walk much either.
Can I ask you something?
Go on.
What if a truck just came to our house with everything in it for a wonderful Christmas? All kinds of presents and clothes and food. Would that be charity?
Now, what kind of truck would this be? A magic truck?
No, just an ordinary truck.
Like your granddad Cole's truck?
No, more like a delivery truck. Would that be charity?
Yes, it would.
How come?
Because somebody would have had to have sent it to us as an act of charity, because we certainly couldn't pay for any such thing. And it's not going to happen, because nobody's going to send us a magic Christmas truck full of presents and roasted geese. You got to stop living in a dream world, Bookie. You're just making it harder on yourself. And me. We'll all have a happier Christmas if you just accept things as they are and make the best of it.
Yes, Papa, I'm sorry.
Hey, you don't have to be sorry. Just don't live in a dream. It's not a time for dreams.
Mr. Eaton?
Well, well, well. Bookie, why aren't you in school?
We're on Christmas break.
Oh, yes, of course you are.
Can I talk to you a minute?
Well, I only have a minute. You see, I don't want to be late for work.
I know your secret identity, but don't worry, I haven't told anyone.
My secret identity? Really, I didn't know I had one.
You're the Santa Parade Santa, aren't you?
Now, what would make you think a thing like that?
You called me Little Bluebird, just like Santa did at the parade.
Well, if I was the Santa Parade Santa, I would be grateful to you for keeping my secret, if I was.
You certainly wouldn't have to be worried about that if you were.
And why have you gone to all this trouble to beard me in my lair?
What?
Is there something you want to ask of me, Bookie?
I don't know.
I know there's something you want to ask me, Bookie. Now, come on now, out with it.
No, there isn't.
Are you sure?
I'm sorry I bothered you, Mr. Eden. Don't worry, I won't tell anyone your secret identity.
Back at home.
Look at me! Jakey. Look at me, I'm Sam Snoop.
Ah, Sam Snoop. Come here, Sam Snoop, my little detective.
Jakey is dressed in an overcoat and hat. Bookie and Francie chase, catch and tickle the little boy.
Bookie, someone's at the door. Can you answer me?
Sure.
Where'd you go? Father's coat back in his room.
Hi, can I come in?
Sure.
Hello, Mrs. Thompson. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Laura. Have you come for a visit?
I was going to the movies, but I've got no one to go with. I was wondering if Bookie could come. Can I, Mama? Please?
You know we don't have money for the movies.
I have plenty. I just got my allowance. Please, Mrs. Thompson, I don't want to go alone.
Off you go, then. Don't forget your hat and mitts.
I think Laurel and Hardy are the funniest two men who ever lived.
Which one is the fat one? And which one is the skinny one?
I'm not sure. Do you want to come over to my house for a snack? I've got all the latest movie magazines.
I'm not supposed to go to your house.
My parents are at my father's Christmas party at the bank. They won't know.
I'm kind of scared of your mother, Laurel.
You're not the only one. But they won't be back for hours.
I don't know. Would you get in trouble if she came home and I was there?
You could just hide under the bed and we could sneak out in the middle of the night.
Back in Laura's bedroom.
Oh no, your parents are home.
It's okay, they never come in here.
Should I hide under the bed?
No.
I should go.
Okay, we'll just sneak out down the stairs. Come on.
Are they having an argument?
Sounds like it.
The two girls hold hands.
Does it bother you when your parents fight like that?
I try not to be around.
My parents fight sometimes about money. I usually go up to my room, but mostly I can still hear them. It scares me.
It used to scare me. I guess I'm used to it. My parents fight all the time.
About money?
About stupid stuff. Like Mr. Eden's Christmas party. She thinks my dad can arrange for them to get invited, but he keeps saying he can't. I think it would make her really happy if she got invited.
Mr. Eden is that important?
My dad says he's the king of Canadian businesses.
Wow. I guess I better go.
See you soon.
Bye.
In her bright blue velvet coat, as Bookie arrives home from Laura's house, an Eaton delivery man is coming down the porch steps. Her mother is by the front door. In the kitchen, her mother brings a spoon of food over to Bookie.
I have some bread pudding for you to taste. Blow it on. It's good?
Mm-hmm. Did you have to give the sewing machine back, Mama?
Well, my 30-day trial is over.
Did you tell them you didn't like it?
Yes.
But you do like it, don't you?
Yes. It's an excellent sewing machine.
I don't understand. Isn't that kind of cheating?
Bookie, do you like all the clothes I've sewn up for you the last couple of weeks?
Well, of course I do, but I didn't know you had to cheat the Eanes company to
Bookie?
Make them.
You know how Eatons gave all you children a present? Even though they'd rather you came to the store and bought presents.
Yes, but...
Just listen to me. This is kind of a present that Eaton's gives to grown-ups like me. They know that people don't have much money right now. But they also know that someday soon, things will be better. And people will remember who was good to them when times were hard. Eaton's knows I really like the sewing machine. It's just their way of giving me a Christmas present. The free use of a machine to help my family. They also know that I'll go back to them when I want to buy that sewing machine. Do you understand?
So it's kind of like something Santa Claus would do if he were a real person?
Yes, it's kind of like something Santa would do.
Back outside the nut shop, Bookie confronts Mr. Eaton.
Mr. Eaton, I have a question.
Somehow, I am not surprised. What is it, Bookie?
How come you let everyone use your stuff and then return it without paying for it? Isn't it like a present from Santa Claus?
My, Santa Claus. You are a persistent young lady. No, Bookie, it's hardly like a present from Santa. It's just how we do business.
But aren't you worried that people might... that they might say they didn't like their sewing machine when they really did?
Not a bit.
You're not?
Lots of people tell me it's bad for business, but all I know is that the T. Eaton Company has become the biggest merchant in this country following that policy. And how did your mother really like her sewing machine?
She loved
it. Oh, don't worry, Bookie. Your secret is safe with me. Have a good morning, little bluebird.
He carries on walking down the street, past a shady-looking young man. The young man starts following Mr. Eaton. Bookie has a look of horror on her face, and she sees the man force Mr. Eaton down a dark alley.
Take a right. Oh. Take a right. I don't want to hurt you, but I can see that you got money and I need some. I got a family feed. It's Christmas time and we got nothing. Nothing at all. I can see that you got so much. You have to give me a little. Whoa. Now, I'm sorry. I ain't never done this before, but I have to do it. Now, you go ahead. You reach for your wallet.
What are you doing? Don't you know that this is Mr. Eaton from Eaton's? Please don't hurt him. He'll give you what you want. He's the real Santa Claus.
The man lowers his gun.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I ain't never robbed anybody before in my life. I ain't gonna start now. You go ahead. You call the cops.
I don't think there's any need for that. Here, you take this. Make a decent Christmas for your family. And don't forget, you are a good man. Throw that thing into Lake Ontario.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's just what I'll do. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Mr. Eaton.
Merry Christmas.
I'm sorry I blabbed your secret, Mr. Eaton. I didn't mean to. It just came out.
Okay, your selfless courage very likely saved my life. So telling what a desperate man with a gun might do, his finger might slip out of sheer nervousness. Thanks to you, I'm still in one piece. And that man has chosen not to let his family down in their time of need.
But I promised I wouldn't tell your secret, and I did.
Bookie, why don't we go have a hot chocolate and a talk? That was awfully quick thinking, Bookie, telling him I was the real set. It confused him so much he stopped thinking about robbery.
So you're not mad at me?
You don't really think I'm Santa Claus, do you, Bookie?
No, but I think you're kind of like Santa Claus.
What an imagination. Well, the least I owe you is the truth. When you asked me this before, I didn't give you a straight answer. I'm going to give you one now, but you do have to keep my secret. You promise me that?
I promise. Even if there's a robber, I won't ever blab it again. Mm.
My father was the Eaton's Santa Claus Parade Santa all the years he ran the company. And now, I am the Eaton Santa Claus Parade Santa. It's been a secret tradition for years, and now you're the only one who knows. So there.
Is it fun?
Oh, it's wonderful fun. I look forward to it all year. But let's talk about you. When you asked me this before, I sensed that there was something you wanted, but you were afraid to ask. Now that I'm in your debt, I insist you tell me what it is I can do for you.
Well, this year, we won't have a wonderful Christmas at all. There won't be any presents or dinner or anything. It's not even warm except near the stove, because my papa says we can't burn so much coal. So I was going to ask you if we could have a Christmas like we used to.
The answer, Bookie, is yes. You just tell me what you want, and I'll have it brought to your home.
I can't.
Why not?
My mama and papa, they both think anything like that would be charity, and they won't accept charity.
But you'd be doing me a favor by allowing me to pay back the debt I owe you. Well, here is my private telephone number. When you decide what it is you want, you let me know, and it will be done, if it is in my power to do it.
you understand, Bookie?
You mean like a wish, Mr. Eaton? Are you granting me a wish?
You are such a delight, Bookie. I have a wish of my own. I wish I could have a hot chocolate with you every day. What a wonderful way to start the day. Yes, little bluebird. Consider it a wish. I am granting you a wish. Out of gratitude. From your friend, the Secret Santa.
Some of these have been in the family since your great-grandmother's time.
Mm-hmm. Mama, you'll never guess. Oh, you're unwrapping Christmas ornaments. Mm-hmm. Are we getting a tree today?
Oh, your father thinks we should wait till trees are cheaper. I just wanted to get them out. Maybe seeing them will get them in the spirit.
We have to hit a big one, so Sandy can put my trike under it.
Jakey, can you take these downstairs for me? I'm going to hang them in the front room.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, that poor boy. I don't know how to keep him from being disappointed. Well, the rest of you are old enough to understand the situation, but Jakey, it's just going to break his heart not getting a tricycle.
It's now nighttime. In the kitchen, Francie picks up a small blue bottle, pours some lotion onto her hands, and gives Thomas's neck a rub.
Oh, that's wonderful. There's magic in your fingers, Francie, that is for sure.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
If we wait until Christmas Eve, I can get a good tree. A very good tree. For a nickel.
Well, if you wait till after Christmas, till July, you could get one for nothing.
It's all very well for you to mock me. But if I go for a tree tomorrow, it'll cost 25 cents. That's a whole day of digging. When I can get a whole day.
The children would be so cheered if we could get the tree up.
You really want me to spend a quarter on a tree? It's 10 days worth of day-old bread.
Christmas Eve, then. The morning, at least?
All right. Fine.
A new day, and Bookie approaches Laura's house.
Merry Christmas, Mrs. Westover.
Bookie. Merry Christmas. What are you doing here? Didn't your mother have a talk with you about making new friends?
I just have to speak to Laura, please. It's about Christmas.
Oh, come in, then. Laura's upstairs in her room.
I can't believe it! Mr. Eaton said he would grant you a wish, anything you want. He said he would send anything I wanted to our house in a truck. That's so amazing! You're so lucky, Bookie. No, I'm not. My papa hates Mr. Eden because he took away his job. That's horrible. You're so unlucky, Bookie. I'm going to ask Mr. Eden to invite your mother and father to his Christmas party.
Why would he want to waste your wish on my mother?
I'm not wasting it on your mother. I'm giving it to you. You're my best friend in the whole world, and I want you to be happy. If it makes your mother happy to go to the Christmas party, which makes you happy, then I can't think of anything I'd rather do with my wish.
Oh, Bookie, I'm the lucky one to have a friend like you.
Can I use your telephone?
Mm-hmm. The two girls run downstairs to the telephone.
Hello, I'm Bookie. Can I speak to Mr. Eden, please?
Bookie, you've decided then? I see. Are you quite sure? Well, give me the address then, and I will see that it's taken care of.
Thank you. Your mom will get an invitation to the party.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, but don't tell her it was because of me. Just let it be a surprise when it comes. That way, she'll think it was because of your dad. And then she won't be mad at him anymore. And they won't have fights anymore. And you'll have a happy Christmas. He's coming.
Well, I managed to find two houses whose flower beds needed turning for the winter. The whole 50 cents earned. What's wrong? Where's Arthur and Jakey? Has something happened?
Nothing's happened, dear. Arthur and Jakey are outside playing. Come and sit down and have some hot turnip stew. We have something to show you.
He apprehensively opens a white envelope and takes out a card.
If this is a joke, it isn't funny.
No, it's real, Thomas. Mr. Eaton has invited our family to his Christmas party.
Well, now, why in thunder would he do that?
It's Buki. He and Buki are friends.
Did you ask to be invited, Buki?
No, I never asked him to invite us. Honest, I didn't.
Bloody hell.
So what do you think, Thomas?
Did you tell him your father was let go from Eaton's a month before Christmas? Is that why? Because he feels guilty?
No, he doesn't know anything about that.
You already want to go?
Well, we can make a respectable showing. We have our Sunday clothes, and I've made a few new things for the girls to wear. It would be something special to remember this Christmas by.
All right, fine. We'll go.
Oh, thank you, Papa.
At Laura's house.
Hope you like this, Henry. It's pot roast with mushrooms. I spent all afternoon cooking it for you.
You cooked dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Lily?
Gave her the afternoon off. We're alone, dear. Why don't you taste it?
It's very good.
I don't know how you did it, Henry, but thank you. You've made me the happiest woman in the world.
Yes, well, needless to say.
Tell me how you did it.
Well, this is really quite a marvelous turn of events, isn't it?
Thanks to you. Can you imagine what this will mean for our social standing? I can invite people to our party I wouldn't have dreamed of inviting, even at the last minute, and they'll come. After all, we are on the Eaton's Christmas list.
Back at Bookie's house, Thomas is contemplating outside on the porch.
What do you have in mind, Thomas Thompson?
What do you mean?
You're not planning on embarrassing me?
Do you take me for a fool? I want to ask a man a question, that's all.
What kind of a question?
You heard what Buki said. He doesn't know anything about her father being fired.
And?
Well, if he did, if you think so much of Buki, maybe he'd give me my job back. What's the matter?
You're a proud man, Thomas. I know how hard it is for you to even think of asking.
The night of Mr. Eaton's Christmas party, two maids open some double doors to reveal a massive Christmas tree with elaborate decoration. From the room, other staff members enter the party with glasses of champagne. Laura's mother accosts Mr. Eaton and his wife.
Mr. Eaton, Merry Christmas. Anne and Henry Westover. Mr. Eaton, we just wanted to thank you personally for inviting us to your wonderful Christmas party. Everything is so, so perfect.
Oh, yes, well, thank you for coming, and may I introduce you to my wife, Mrs. Eaton.
How do you do, Mrs. Eaton? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mrs.
Westover.
Oh, there they are. Come along, darling. There are some people I've been looking forward to meeting. You will excuse us, won't you?
Who are those people, dear?
Just some social climbing nobodies. I invited them as a favor to someone you're about to meet. Buki, I'm so glad you and your family could come.
Hello, Mr. Eaton. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to all of you. May I present my dear wife, Mrs. Eaton.
How do you do, Bookie? My husband's told me so much about you.
Now, won't you introduce us to your family?
Bookie Thompson? Francie Thompson? What on earth is that family doing here?
Who are they again, dear?
Absolutely nobody, that's who. Look at Mr. and Mrs. Eaton. They seem happy to see them. They're actually talking to them. They're lingering.
So it would seem.
Your daughter is an absolute delight, Mrs. Thompson. Bright as a new penny and always cheerful. I look forward to our little chats every Saturday morning.
Your home is lovely.
Thank you.
Oh, and the Christmas decorations are just the nicest I've ever seen.
Would you like a little tour? Oh,
I wouldn't want to be any trouble.
The trouble was in the decorating. Now I'm dying to show it off. Come along now, all of you. Excuse me, dear.
Of course, my love.
Thomas and Mr. Eaton are left alone.
Are you all right, Mr. Thompson?
I was hoping I could have a word with you, Mr. Eaton. Private.
Well, certainly, if we can find any privacy.
Francie sees Anne Westover looking at her.
Could you excuse me for a moment? There's somebody that I see that I'd like to say hello to.
Of course, dear.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Mrs. Westover.
Merry Christmas to you, Mrs. Thompson.
What's a lovely party.
Yes, it is.
It's our first time. Have you been before?
No, we haven't. This is our first time as well.
Well, they're such nice people, the Eatons.
Yes, they are.
Well, all the same, it's nice to see a familiar face.
Yes, I suppose so. Actually, we know quite a number of the other guests. I mean,
yes, I know exactly what you mean. You'll excuse me, won't you? Mrs. Eaton. She's giving the children and me a tour of the house.
Hello, Mrs. Westover.
Back with the men.
Well, what can I do for you, Mr. Thompson?
I thought you'd know it, Mr. Eaton, but I was an employee of the Eaton Company for 15 years. $14 a week.
Well, you have me there, Mr. Thompson. It's a very large company, and there are many, many people I do not know personally. You say you were an employee of ours?
Master harness maker, working in the horse barns.
Horse barns, yes, of course, I understand. I'm sorry.
I was let go in mid-November, with a week's pay in lieu of notice.
We're converting to trucks. It's a matter of economy, urgent economy. The barns will be closed entirely in 3 months.
Not a thought for the loyal workers who've served your company all those years.
Many sleepless nights. Filled with very agonizing thoughts. I don't believe you understand the situation we find ourselves in, Mr. Thompson.
I understand the situation I find myself in. I didn't want to come here today. I swallowed my pride for my family's sake. I took advantage of the situation to ask for my job back. Or any job.
It's not just loyal employees like you who are facing these desperate times, Mr. Thompson. Thomas, if I may. The company itself is facing desperate times. I am not sure whether we can keep our doors open unless things turn around.
Eaton's closing its doors? I don't believe it.
Something is going on, Thomas. In this city. In every city in this country. People have no money to shop at Eaton's. Our business is down by half from last year, and last year it was down by half from the year before. We're hoping things will get better next year. I mean, I'm doing my best to keep the company going, but I'm not sure I can.
This thing you say is going on all over the world. What is it?
I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody understands. It's as if an announcement has been made that the world has suddenly run out of inches. It makes just as little sense.
So, there's no work for me at Eden's.
When we recover, I promise you a job at Eden's. But in the meantime,
God rest.
Rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. For Jesus Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Lovely, lovely. Thank you all.
Thomas paces through the hallway, waiting for his family.
Did you ask your question?
I did.
What was the answer?
It'd be a job for me to eat this when things improve. He gave me his word.
Thomas, that's wonderful news.
Let's be on our way. I'll tell you more at home.
Children, gather your things.
I'll be right back. I have to say goodbye to Mr. Eaton.
Well, and Bluebird, thank you for coming. Have you enjoyed yourself?
Very much. Thank you for inviting Mrs. Westover. We'll make her happy. That means my friend Laura will be happy.
Well, I hope we'll make Mrs. Westover happy, but I'm not sure that's so easily done.
Bookie whispers into his ear.
What was all that whispering, Bookie?
Nothing, Papa. Just a secret between me and Mr. Eaton.
You didn't ask him for anything, I hope. You didn't come here to ask for any charity.
No, Papa. I didn't ask for any charity.
At Laura Westover's house.
How was the party at Mr. Eaton's house?
Oh, it was wonderful. We introduced ourselves and thanked him for the invitation. I think we made a good impression. You'll never guess who else was there.
Who?
Your friend Bookie and her entire family, that's who. I simply couldn't believe my eyes.
Bookie knows Mr. Eaton. She works at her aunt's net shop. He buys nets from her on his way to work.
Really? And he invited her family to his Christmas party because of that?
I guess so.
How odd. Oh, well, I didn't let it spoil the party for us.
So you were happy you were there?
Oh, of course I was. I can't wait for our party tonight. I invited at least a dozen more people that I met at the Eatons. Very important people.
Outside, Arthur and Thomas are carrying home a Christmas tree.
You all right, son?
Yeah.
Not too bad, is it, Francie?
It's a fine little tree. Our ornaments will make it look its best.
It's not bad for a nickel, I suppose. If I'd have waited till tomorrow, they'd have let me have it for nothing, just for starting it off.
Well, the house smells like Christmas, and it feels like Christmas, Thomas. Surely that's worth a nickel.
I think it's beautiful.
My trike won't fit under the tree. It's too little.
Shaky hen. I'm sure Santa won't mind. You just have to be good for one more day, and then you'll have done the best you can. The rest is up to Santa.
Bookie? Let's not have any false encouragement, if you don't mind.
I'm sorry, Mama.
Let's hang our stockings up like we used to do.
I thought we didn't have anything to put in the stockings.
Maybe I can find some apples and some penny candy. Well, it won't be much, but it'll be something.
A little girl comes through the door.
Hi.
Hi, Edamame.
My parents are fighting.
Oh. Come on upstairs.
Upstairs in Bookie's room.
Want some chocolate?
Chocolate?
Bookie closes her eyes in delight as she eats a piece of chocolate.
I haven't tasted anything so good for a long time. Where'd you get it?
I went with my dad to the Nielsen Chocolate Factory Gate. They give out bags of bits at Christmas because they make so much, and some of it gets broken and they can't sell it. It's just broken pieces, but it's still their best chocolate.
It's delicious. Are they open today?
I don't know. Why?
Because this would be perfect for our Christmas stockings. It's not so far. I could walk there in an hour.
You can't go alone, Bookie.
Why not?
It's really scary. My dad said a man once fell into a chocolate tank, and they never found him.
Really?
I don't know. When I die, I think I'd like to get drowned in chocolate, but I wouldn't go back there alone. All these people are rushing around in a hurry, pushing wagons and stuff and yelling, "Get out of the way!" They might not even see you and run you over.
I have to get some chocolate for Christmas. I just have to.
A new day at the chocolate factory. Men are busy working. Pallets and crates litter the courtyard. Bookie arrives in the courtyard. She sees a man being stretchered out of one of the workhouses.
The ambulance is on its way. Fred, can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
You'll be all right, Fred. We'll have you at the hospital in no time.
What happened?
Oh, this doesn't concern you, little girl. Go along in the ambulance. See that he gets treatment right away. I've got some phone calls to make. I don't know where I'm going to find a good handyman this close to Christmas.
My father's a very good handyman. He can fix anything. He even fixed his boots with rubber tires.
And where's your father working now?
He's not, but I'm sure he'd love to work in your chocolate factory.
Maybe he'd do and maybe he wouldn't, but he isn't here. And I have to find someone immediately. We can't afford any breakdowns 2 days before Christmas.
If he could be here in a half an hour, would that be soon enough?
If he's here and ready to work, and I think he's up to the job, yes.
Can I use your telephone?
Of course.
The man leads her into the deliveries office.
Hello? Laura, I can't explain, but I need your help. It's a matter of life and death.
What's the matter?
I need you to get your mother to take her car and go to my house and get my father and bring him to the front gates of the Nielsen Chocolate Factory as fast as you can. And tell him to bring his rubber tire boots. It's very important.
I don't understand.
Please, Laura, there's no time. Just please ask your mother.
She won't do it. Her party is tonight. I'm afraid to ask her anything.
You have to get your mother to do it, Laura. Please.
I'll do my best.
Laura's mother is busy getting the party ready.
Mother!
Don't bother me now, Laura. Can't you see everything is falling apart? The guests will be arriving in 2 hours.
Mother, please, it's important.
No, it's not important. My preparations are important.
Please listen to me, Mother.
Just go upstairs and play. There must be something you're not bored with yet.
You have to drive me to Bookie's and get her father and take him to the Nielsen Chocolate Factory.
What? Have you lost your mind? What's come over you?
You have to, Mom. Bookie says it's a matter of life and death.
I will do no such thing. Now, go up to your room and stay out of the way.
Bookie got you that invitation.
What did you say?
Mr. Eaton gave her one wish that he would grant because she saved him from a robber. She said to get you that invitation because I told her that would make you happy.
Bookie arranged my invitation?
She made me promise I wouldn't tell.
Because she wanted to make me happy?
Because she wanted to make me happy.
I don't understand what you're talking about, Laura.
I'm not having a very good Christmas, Mother. I told her that if you got invited to that party, you might not be miserable. Then maybe we could have a happy Christmas, too.
Miserable? You're not having a happy Christmas?
I guess Bookie wasted her wish.
Anne looks astonished.
And Bookie says this is a matter of life and death?
We have to hurry, Mother.
At the chocolate factory, Bookie waits patiently. Anne's car turns around the corner and Thomas climbs out of the car.
Bookie. Are you okay?
I'm fine, Papa. Do you have your rubber tire boots?
Yeah, they're in the car.
Take them and go in there. The man inside has a job for you, a real job.
Right back.
Mrs. Westover for bringing my father. I'm very, very grateful to you.
This is about a job. I thought you told Laura that this was a matter of life and death.
It is to us. I didn't know anyone else I could ask to help us.
Thank you for arranging my invitation to the Eatons, Bookie. I'm very grateful.
You're welcome. I asked you not to tell her. She would have never done it if I didn't tell her.
I'm sorry to say that's true, Bookie.
Bookie! Ah, girl! Oh! I got the job. I have to start immediately. But I get Christmas Day off. You go on home and tell your mother. $13 a week. Thank you, Mrs. Westover. I'll never forget this favor.
It was the least I could do. Congratulations, Mr. Thompson.
I love you.
Bye. Come, Bookie. I'll drive you home.
$13 a week? That's almost as much as he made at Eaton's.
And free chocolate bits.
To think this happened because she went looking for chocolate scraps to fill our Christmas stockings. It's a miracle.
Christmas is a time of miracles, it seems. All kinds of miracles.
Well, your guests will be arriving soon, Mrs. Westover. Do you need to be going?
Are you sure you wouldn't like to come?
I'm sure, but thank you for the invitation.
We were just going to have a private Christmas dinner, the three of us. I would be honored if you and your family would join us as our guests.
Could we, Mama, please?
We'd love to have you. I'd love to have you. Really.
Well, I'll ask your father when he comes home, but I'm sure he'd be pleased to accept.
Well, come on, Laura. Let's see if we can get dressed and ready before our guests start without us. Merry Christmas, Mrs. Thompson.
Merry Christmas, Mrs. Westover.
The two ladies share a genuine smile between each other. Christmas Day and the family rush down to the Christmas tree.
Merry Christmas, everyone! Oh, man, what a wonderful Christmas it is! Children, I know there's not a lot under the tree this morning. Next week, once I'm paid, there'll be more presents, I promise. But think about what we do have. We're stuck together. We didn't go begging for charity. We kept our dignity. And here we are, on our own feet, and beholden to no one.
Except for Bookie, and Mrs. Westover, and the man at the chocolate factory. I'm just pointing out causes and effects.
No, there is such a thing as being too smart, sis.
I have been saving a jar of your Aunt Aggie's homemade marmalade since last summer. And right after I heard the wonderful news, I ran out and got us a special Christmas breakfast. Bacon and eggs. Let's get busy.
Let's eat.
Santa didn't bring my tray.
Jake, come here. Try and understand. Now that I got real work again, we can start putting money aside. Pretty soon, we'll have enough for a bright red trike.
When?
Well, it's winter coming. You wouldn't be able to use it anyway. Next spring. That's a whole other story.
Santa was supposed to bring it for Christmas, and he didn't.
Bookie goes to the window.
Jakey, come here. It's snowing. It's the first snow of winter. You have to make a wish on the first snow of winter.
Outside on the porch is a red tricycle with a red bow tied on the handlebars.
It isn't charity, I promise.
My trike, Santa brought my trike!
Oh, look at that! Jakey! Jakey, touch your trike!